Good morning.
Good morning.
You all look a little bit tired, and I ain't done it in a while, so get up and greet your neighbor. Tell them good morning. God loves you. Come on. I'm coming back here for you, Marty. Now that is more like it. Smiling, because when I start out and look out and see this, staring at me on Sunday morning. Oh, no, no. We're happy Christians. Say amen.
Amen.
You ought to be happy. Jesus loves you. You're here amongst your family, and you're going to sit in Sunday on church and look like this? There's only one time you should look like this. Is after the Chocolate Wonderfall at Golden Corral. Believe you me. Amen. Good morning. God is great. He is gracious. He has blessed us richly this morning. Y'all don't get to see everything. You should come up here. Maybe one Sunday I'll just have everybody sit up here and I'll stand back there. That wouldn't make any sense, would it? But you don't get to see things that I get to see, like kids clapping and singing and little Faith there trying to clap. Of course, she's trying to get into everything they handed her. But what a gracious morning it is. And you don't get to hear when little child, Caroline said, what she said? Because why did Jesus appear? You done forgot already? Because it's Jesus. Zoe. Whatever. One of the pretty little girls up there. She goes, because it's Jesus. Because it's Jesus. How soon and how quickly we forget things. I watched a program on the other night on a television set explaining how Jesus was wrapped in his burial clothes and what had to take place for him to come out of that tomb and all the things. He come out of there because it's Jesus. Amen. Good morning. God bless you. What's on your heart today? Joys or concerns? What's lifting you up? What do you need to pray on? Frank and Anna are doing as good as they can be expected to be doing. Chuck is fine. He still has to walk with the buggy. Says what he calls it, but he's doing better with that. Keep little Jake, his grandson, in your prayers. They still haven't figured that situation out. If there are none others, let us join our hearts together. Come before the Lord.
Continue to pray for Johnny Mound.
Continue to pray for Johnny.
We need rain because we need some mushrooms.
We need them mushrooms, that's right. Let us join our hearts together. Just that hand up and down for the unspoken. Thank you, thank you. Heavenly Father, you give us voice. In this country and in this moment, you give us voice. We need to use it to proclaim your name, to proclaim Jesus, but also to look right into our very soul and say, Father, forgive me of my sins, and be thankful that He does. Because if He would not, all would be lost. Had He not loved us enough to send Jesus down, loved us, not us loving Him, asking, but Him loving us enough, more than enough, to send Jesus down, all would be lost. And so we are thankful, Father. We are thankful for that which we are given and that which is taken away. We are thankful for the moments that we seem to be in trial that cause us to pray. We are thankful for the moments we are in joy which cause us to pray. And we ask right now that you be with us as we remember those unable to be with us today, those that are out traveling, may they have traveling mercies, those in the hospital or sick at home, or those that are going to have to deal with the loss of a loved one. And for the pain of our own bodies, Father, lift us up. That's where we lose sometimes, is in the fact that we think we can do it on our own, and we cannot. Remind us, Father, that you have given us doctors and nurses and caregivers that will provide and take care and look after us for this frail tent until that day that we are at home with you in heaven, made perfect, never to be sick again. as always, we ask for blessings upon those who seek to teach and provide and lead. And let that leadership continue to remember Jesus Christ, our Savior. For the unspoken request, Father, which we find in the prayer box, or when that hand goes up and down, or when you're alone and you just simply know you need to pray, Father, you know what's on our heart and you read it accordingly. We thank you so much. We ask that you set our hearts, place us within you as we work toward this service and this sermon. As we may go from here and evangelize, talking of Jesus Christ, let us first unite our hearts in prayer. The prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Still here. Still here. Still here. Those are cries that were heard. Still here. Praise the Lord. Still here. There is a building in a land far, far away that is built on a hill. The Romans originally built there to set up a temple for idol worship sometime around that time. They built to worship a pagan idol. After the Romans were removed from that land, a simple but small house of worship was set up in an area known as Ludgate. By first recorded history, sometime in 700. Now I'm talking 700. We start looking at this piece of ground, which was revered after it was found that Jesus Christ was the eternal King, after it was made known that we must worship Jesus Christ and not idols. This area became an area that saw much turmoil. And this building was built and burned and built and burned and built and burned and destroyed during wars. And sometime in about 886, going forward, this little simple building, this little simple house of worship, continued to gain notoriety as a point at which people rallied around. And as history might note, as is too often in the beginning, this particular house of God along that time became used for things it wasn't supposed to be used for. It was no longer kept as just a sanctuary. And so constantly it was built, destroyed, beat, burned. Till finally somebody got some good sense about them. And in 1240, they came up there and they consecrated the ground. And he said, this will be used to house the church. The church. It'll be no more a meeting place. No more a public house. No more market. No more a place for the government to meet. It will be a church. And yet it was still beaten and destroyed because they continued to build it out of wood and flimsy materials, all in this area known as Ludgate. Sometime in 1600, now put those numbers together. You started in 6, you're in 1600. That is 1,000 years for those of you who might be mathematically challenged like me. A man named Sir Christopher Wren was born. And a little church at Ludgate continued to be beat up and beat on and burnt down and built back up. But in 1666, Sir Christopher Wren began a design commissioned that would be, and quote, to stand up. To stand up. It was finished in 1711. Christopher Wren laid the very first stone in the foundation. Him and his principal assistant went out without much fanfare, picked the northeast corner of the building, and put down the very first stone of the foundation. And in 1711, when the building structure was completed, Sir Christopher Wren laid the very last stone. It has been noted that Sir Christopher Wren, in 1723, became the first person buried in this structure he designed. And on the wall above his tomb, which is a simple little spot, is written, and I'm going to do this in Latin, bear with me, Lector si monumentum requiris circumspice. I spent time learning that. Which means, if you seek a monument, look around you. If you seek a monument, look around you. Now this building, built on simple little Ludgate Hill, and I keep giving it away what it is. Have you figured it out yet? Well, don't say anything. That's what 81 years on the planet will get you. She knows everything. Ask Glenn. This little building became a rallying cry for citizens who thought all was lost. This building became their central focus. This building became where they all looked toward as turmoil and destruction fell about them. And if you haven't figured it out by now, I am talking about St. Paul's Cathedral in London, England. Have you ever seen a picture of it? It is a magnificent, magnificent church. During the Battle of Britain, which took place from July of 1940 until on or about the end of October 1940, the German Luftwaffe beat the sense out of England with bomb after bomb after bomb. What started out as a simple way for them to look to destroy the shipping lanes so that they could invade the shores turned into let's beat up on industry, turned into let's bomb roadways and airports, turned into we're not getting our results, let's just start dropping the bombs on the people. And they did. And in late September, they began in earnest bombing the cities in Wales, in the Welsh area, in Scotland, pursuing London, and dropping bomb after bomb. And one day in October, one of the fiercest bombing campaigns had been going on for 2 days as German planes continued to fly overhead, dropping bomb after bomb on the dark of October 9th as fire raged through the city, as smoke poured up. A bomb flew, and in the darkness, people thought the great building was lost. But in fact, on that night, one bomb pierced the dome of the cathedral, landed on the floor and did not explode. And the next morning, as the sun came up, the great cathedral was still standing, and people cried out, "Still here, still here, still here." And it became a symbol for the might of England to the point where it was actually roped off. And people stood on the roof of this great building trying to catch the bombs as they came, just so that it would not hurt them. Lisa Jardine of Queen Mary University of London wrote during that time, "Wreathed in billowing smoke, amidst the chaos and destruction of war, the pale dome stands proud and glorious, indomitable. At the height of that air raid, Sir Winston Churchill telephoned the Guildhall to insist that all fighting resources be redirected to St. Paul's. The cathedral must be saved. He said damage to the fabric that covers the window would sap the moral of the country." They even have a story that a bomb fell in there on a time delay, and they found it. It had gone off. Had it gone off, had they not disposed of it, the incendiary bomb would have exploded and burnt that church to nothing. Still here. Still here. And it still stands today. I'm sure if there's ladies in the audience, and there are, in the congregation when you watch the queens over there, the marriages of the prince and the princesses. You've watched them as they've gone to St. Paul's Cathedral, and I'm saying, oh, look at the pretty dresses and oh, how beautiful it is. And I had to suffer through it. St. Paul's Cathedral. And you know what? That building is magnificent. I saw it from a distance when I was in London 2 years ago. It's magnificent. And its beauty and its glory is almost unmatched. And yet today we have an even greater place to look for a standing point, for something to rally against as the bombs beat down on us. We know that Jesus Christ is still here. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Linda began it. I'm going to do it again. If you think I'm going to read that time old honored scripture just because it's the day after Easter, it's a Sunday following Easter, you're right. Luke chapter 24, starting in that 13th verse. God bless you, Martha. I'll give you a hint. Luke is the one spelled with an L. Luke chapter 24. Verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they walked, they discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing? As you're walking together, they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened in there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer all these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. While he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he began to give it to them. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned to Jerusalem at once. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus recognized them when he broke the bread." May God add his blessing to this passage. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Seal within our hearts the teachings that we will have today and what we will learn going forward that will strengthen us in the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Still here. Still here. That was the cry that rang out. He's still here. After all that went on, he's still here. And you know what, brothers and sisters, today we have to do? We have to acknowledge that fact. You may not have seen him yesterday. You may not have ever seen him, but he is still here. He is still here in every part that we are. He is still here amid all the rubble. He is still here ready to teach us like he taught those two. One of the things that is often missed in that scripture is the fact that they had to walk 7 miles to get home. 7 miles, not 7 feet. If I walk 7 miles at the end of the seventh mile, I'm not getting up for nothing. I'm going to sit down in my easy chair, pick out my favorite tractor book, and that's it. But the minute they sat down with Jesus and they realized who it was, what they do, they got up in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the night, and they went as hard as they could go back to tell the others, he's still here. And they had seen him. He's still here. He's still here today. And I get tired of hearing this. Oh, this world is coming to an end. This world is such a nasty, evil place. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I know what you're going to do. Be a Christian. Accept that fact and smile. That even amongst the world, that even amongst the destruction, even amongst the rubble, Jesus Christ is still here as he showed himself to the two men walking to Emmaus. Did anybody get a chance to watch any of the golf game last weekend known as the Masters? Anybody see Bubba Watson? Is everybody in this room now a Bubba Watson fan? If you ain't, be one. His name is Bubba Watson. I even heard somebody say on the radio the other day, American Bubba Watson. You really couldn't call European Bubba, could you? The Scottish guy Bubba, it just don't work, Bubba Watson. Did anybody see him when he got his green jacket? Did anybody see the ceremony? You saw it? I cried like a baby. Quiet, unassuming man. Let me tell you about Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson's story is he's wanted to play baseball and golf. He had a mother and a father who provided a Christian foundation for him and taught him the values that are sealed within Jesus Christ. And Bubba grew up a God-fearing, good old boy. When he went and got ready to get married, his wife on their first date said, I want to have children. Now, I've been on a few first dates in my life. If any of them ever started out like that, there wouldn't have been a second one. And Bubba said, all right. If that's what God wants, that's what we'll do. And they couldn't have children, and they tried to adopt, and it kept failing them. And finally, he was able to adopt just before the Masters. And he went, and he played, and he did some incredible things, and he won. But the thing that I'll remember about Bubba Watson from this day forward was watching as all these people around him, this quiet, unassuming guy, kind of scruffy hair, a little bit of a scruff on his face, sat there on his prestigious golf course in the wooden chair. And the guy that won last year stood him up and put his green jacket on him. And he stood there, and the noise and the din died down. And they quit taking pictures after he made a comment about Georgia Bulldogs. Bubba Watson said, the first thing I'd like to do is thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through his salvation I am blessed. Wow! He is still here! When you hear stuff like that, Jesus Christ is still here. And that's the lesson that needed to be taught to these two men. He's still here. Now that you have the scriptures and everything's in place, you start looking at them and you start remembering that Jesus Christ is still here. Even today, even here, even right now. Say amen. Amen. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst, right? That's what he says. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that as sure as the sun comes up every day, that Jesus Christ is still here, still here, still here. We look at these two men walking along. They feel like they're lost because they don't understand what's about to take place. They haven't got it yet. Jesus Christ even notes it. What's he call them? How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You knew this was coming. I'm still here. Now I'd like to think about this in Paul language. I'm up on the mountain lot cutting firewood. And I'm walking up to look at a tree, and suddenly I turned around and looked, and Jesus Christ would be standing next to me and say, "Hello, Paul." The next thing that would happen would be a loud thump. Because as I ran, a little bit shook up, looking back behind me, I'd run into the first tree in my way. But how glorious it would be to have something like that happen. He's still here. Don't forget that. He's still here. That's the lesson that he's teaching right here. He is still here. He still wants us to know that he resides within the hearts and minds of those who believe him. Regardless of what the world throws at you, he's still here. And it's miraculous and it's beautiful and it's loving. And when we forget that, the world presses down. The world pushes in on us. The world lets us know. They begin to drop those bombs that can destroy. That cathedral is so magnificent. I endeavor one day to go to it. Just because I have read of Sir Christopher Wren and found out he's a little bit of a smart aleck. Not that I enjoy people that are kind of smart like that. But Sir Christopher Wren, when he got finished building this thing and was about to hand it over, they came in because of the vaulted high arch ceilings. And they looked at the pillars and they said, "You don't have enough support here. You need to put more pillars in." And Christopher Wren, in his own mind, said, "You're not going to tell me what I already know." So he put four more pillars in as an optical illusion. They look like they're touching the ceiling and they're 15 feet away from it. As great as that structure is, it holds nothing to my Lord and Savior. And how the fact that we can still see him here. I was opening my mail this morning and there's a magazine, the Samaritan magazine, which I've never seen before. It's from Franklin Graham. I guess we get that because of sending out the boxes. I need to give that to you so you can read through that. On the back page is a list of martyrs who have died bringing Christianity to Muslims. Because they believe he's still here. Each one of those stories I read was a touching moment. And yet we here in this country, with the freedom to proclaim it, hold it in. Stop it. Proclaim it. Still here. When somebody says, "Why do you go to church on Sunday morning?" Jesus Christ is still here. When somebody says, "Why are you carrying that old Bible around?" Jesus Christ is still here. When somebody says, "Why can't you cuss?" I answered them, "Jesus Christ is still here." I was inspired this week by Bubba Watson and his fact that in the middle of that, he proclaimed the Lord and Savior. Use those words, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm starting to see it more and more in people that are out there in front of the face that just don't care, whether it be the football player, Tim Tebow, or NASCAR drivers, or whatever. I see it more and more. Thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who protects me, who lifts me, because he's still here. That's the rallying point, brothers and sisters, in amidst the trouble, in amidst the turmoil. The rallying point is the fact that Jesus Christ is still here. Keep him in your heart. That's what he's teaching to these two brothers as they walk. I am the fulfillment of all the prophecy. I am who I said I am. I have now shown you that. Preach it, sing it, say it, praise it, gospelize it, evangelize it. But make sure you still say to people, Jesus Christ is what? Still here. Still here. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for those words, those teachings, those strengthenings that bring us forward. Beg that you let us not forget that your Son is still here. And imagine the day when he actually comes to get us. Actually, because it's going to happen. We're going to meet with him, caught up and taken away once and for all, there to rest in glory forever. We need to proclaim it. We need to let people know it. We need to tell our neighbors, our friends, everybody around us, so that they don't find themselves lost when that time comes. Jesus Christ is still here. The same as he was yesterday, He'll be the same today and continue on tomorrow. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Robert E. Lee and the general whom he relied on the most, Stonewall Jackson, were men of deep faith. And Chaplain Bennett once wrote in his writings that Stonewall never entered battle without prayer. And often during that time, during watching the struggle of the ebb and flow, he was seen praying. And on this day in 1859, he wrote to his wife, who was absent from his home visiting relatives, these simple words: "Is there not comfort in prayer, which is not elsewhere to be found?" As we sing this last song, I invite you up if you need that comfort of prayer, that strengthening, that power that will flow from within. Amen.
Please stand and turn to page 488.
Lamb of God, I come.